Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, it's a Hebrew word. Emmanuel means with us. El is short form for Elohim, which means God. Whatever that is placed in front is usually the emphasis. For example, Jonathan. Joe is short form for Jehovah, which means the Lord, and Nathan is the word give. The Lord has given. And so the emphasis in the name of Jonathan is the Lord. Who is the one who has given? It is the Lord himself. And the name Nathanael, same meaning. Nathan means give, but El is short form for Elohim. But in the case of Nathanael, Nathan is in front, and so the emphasis is on the gift. Not so much the one who gives, but on the gift. So if you name your son Nathanael, the emphasis is on, this son of mine is a gift from God. So what is placed in front is the emphasis. And so Emmanuel, with us, is God. God has always been with mankind since the beginning of the fall. God has never deserted man. And so we realize that in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, the Lord continued to communicate with them. The Lord had never deserted man. And so therefore, what exactly does it mean with us is God? It's as if that God had left mankind, and then now God has returned. And so with us is God. But that is not what it means, because God has never deserted mankind. And that's how we see the Bible. The Bible is basically the word of God that God has given to us. If God has left us, then there will be no Bible. The fact that the Bible has been here for us since the beginning of time, since the beginning of the fall, we know that God has never deserted and left man to fend for himself. God has always been there for us, to help us, to encourage us, to save us. And so Emmanuel is not to be understood that God has created the world, he went somewhere else, and then suddenly he appears. Emmanuel is a very, very special word with a very specific and particular meaning and significance. It is not God with us in the very general sense that God is invisible and God is in heaven, and God continues to speak to us. This word with us is God means God is walking amongst us. That's what this word means, with us. And so we need to ask ourselves, why did God want to emphasize with us? What is so great about man that God says, I want to walk amongst all of you? You look at mankind. Mankind is worse than God's creatures in the ocean, worse than God's birds in the sky, and definitely worse than the beasts that walk on the earth. Because these creatures, they cannot commit any sin. They have been created by God, but none of them sin against God. Not the animals, not the birds, not the fish. They cannot sin. That's why God can use the blood of certain animals that he considers as clean, as a substitute in place of Christ's blood, before the Lord Jesus actually came and walked on the earth amongst us, and then to live and to die for us. Because the blood of animals are without sin. And that's why God can use the blood of animals as a substitute until the day when the Lord Jesus Christ actually comes. Why is man the way that we are? Evil, wicked. We need so many laws to curtail our behavior and our conduct. And any country that exists without a law, you and I can see what that country can be like. The country will experience civil war. Man will kill mankind. The might will bully the weak. And that's what we see in many countries that are at war. And so everybody will try to be as strong and as powerful as possible, but because they can't, and so they have to invent weapons of war. And so every country will try to have the best and latest and most potent and powerful weapons. Basically not to kill beasts, not to kill birds, not to kill fish, but to kill one another. The world is filled with sin. The world is made up of evil people. And we're not talking about any exception. Please don't think that when we talk about the world as being evil, you and I are excluded. You and I are part of the same world. And so when we look at the word Emmanuel, with us is God. Why would God want to walk amongst us? Why would the Lord Jesus Christ come down from heaven, which is a perfect place? No sin, no disease, no death. No evil people, no wicked people, no sinner. Everyone in heaven is holy. Everyone is good. Everyone is pure. Why would the Lord Jesus Christ give up such a wonderful, wonderful environment of pristine perfection and holiness to come down and walk among evil, sinful, wicked men, women, and children? No exception. Born in sin. Totally depraved. Why would God do that? Why would God do that? Because none of us would. We try to do the opposite. We try to run away from dangerous places. We try our best to stay away from evil people. That's what we do for ourselves, and that's what we teach our children to do. When you go to the national service, when you go to school, children, please be very wise and careful who your friends are. Because your friends will influence you. You hang around with people who smoke and drink in the army, what do you think you will become? You will also smoke and drink. And if you hang around people who gamble all the time, what do you think will happen to you? You will also end up gambling. You have never gambled before in your own life, whole life. But now in the army, when you are away from mom and dad and the security and safety of home, you are now your own man, literally. And so now you're going to be impacted and influenced by all kinds of characters that you have never met before in your whole life because you've been very sheltered. And so we teach our children, stay away from these people, avoid them. Do the opposite of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Leaving a perfect, wonderful place in heaven to come down into a world that is filled with death, disease, sinful people, evil, wickedness. That's exactly what Emmanuel means. And so we need to understand, based upon Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to verse 25, how did Jesus, that's his name given to us in verse 21, how did Jesus come to us? Right, with us is God, and the God here is referenced to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How did he do it? Well, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. So, we are now introduced to how he came into this world. Now, for you and me, it's through our mother's womb. We never existed. And then we began to exist in our mother's womb. In the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, he already existed in heaven. So, his birth is not like yours and mine. There was no pre-existence. You and I never existed, and then we begin to exist, and we will exist forever. The question is whether we're going to exist forever in heaven or in hell. But the moment you begin to exist, there is no annihilation, because your soul or your spirit can never be destroyed. There's no such thing as the doctrine of annihilation, where the person's soul can just simply die and disappear. No such thing. Your body can die. But the real you and me is our soul or our spirit. They are interchangeable. They are synonyms in the Bible. Now, whether you end up in heaven or hell, that is the key. And that's what we have to find out by the end of this afternoon's message. But first, we have to find out how this Emmanuel, this God, came to us. How did he come to us? How did he do it? Well, when as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, before they lived together, before there was any conjugal relationship, she was found with child. Now that was a problem. That was a problem for any couple. They have not been married. And then now suddenly you found out that the lady that you're supposed to marry is pregnant. That's what it means by with child. And so this news came to Joseph because Mary did not keep it a secret. She shared it with her cousin Elizabeth. You read that in your responsive reading in Luke, right a moment ago. And so that was the problem. And the problem was serious. Because the natural understanding is Mary had committed fornication. And that is a sin. Now, of course, in this time of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a sin, but it was not a criminal act. In the time of the Old Testament, it was a sin and a crime. And the punishment in the Old Testament time was stoned to death. Because Israel was a sovereign nation. That was God's law in the time of Moses and Jake and Joshua. And subsequently, as a sovereign nation, you can have your own set of laws and regulation. But Israel at this time was a vessel, a servant state under Roman law. Roman law is like our laws. You know of anyone who went to prison for committing adultery when there are two consenting adults? No. You cannot marry more than one wife, but when you commit adultery, the only person who cares about it, who takes issue, would be your wife. If your wife says, no big deal, no problem, your wife says, okay, go ahead and have a mistress. You just make sure that you give me money and I can sustain my good life. Go ahead and fool around. I don't care. You think the government is going to arrest your husband? No, it's not a crime. And that was a similar situation. But in the eyes of God, it was a sin. It was a transgression. And since Joseph was a godly man, he was very troubled. Because he found this out. That she was with child. Now, he did not know that the child was of the Holy Spirit. That means, what you have read in Luke chapter 1 happened in the life of Mary. She was still a virgin. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ began to exist in Mary's womb in terms of his humanity, being the Son of Man. Before that, the Lord Jesus Christ was fully the Son of God only. His humanity began when he begins to exist in Mary's womb as the Son of Man. So now the Lord Jesus Christ is fully Son of God and fully Son of Man inside Mary's womb. She was still a virgin. Man, that is Joseph, was not involved. Now Joseph did not know that. And so the Lord had to prepare Joseph because Joseph cannot divorce Mary. Now the word espouse is the word betrothed. In their case, this is more than just an engagement. Our understanding of an engagement is a Western concept. That engagement concept is important and significant in the life of the couple. But it is just a private individual covenantal arrangement between two individuals. There is no legal status in that covenant. Because there is no registrar of engagement that if you want to break off engagement, you go to the government and then you're going to sign some document and swear, from now onwards you are no longer engaged. We only have a registrar of marriage. Right? Commission of marriage. Marriage we have. That's the legal thing. But engagement is just a private covenant where you are engaged, but somewhere during this period of engagement you find that I don't think we should take the important step of getting married. Let's break off. Sure, you can break off. And once you break off, you don't need to go to any legal department for your breaking off. Because that's a private engagement, a private covenant between two individuals. You may just simply tell your friends, oh, we are no longer together. That's it. There is no legal standing or status behind it. But not the betrothal or the espousal of Joseph and Mary. It has some legal significance and standing. They cannot just simply have a private breakup and then that's it. And that's why Joseph realized that I have to make this public. But I love Mary.
I don't want to do it. I struggle. He struggled. Look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example because he has to go and make it public, that I want to break off this espousal, this betrothal, this relationship. But then once he goes to the elders, the leaders, to make it permanent, then everybody would know that Mary is with child. She has committed a sin of fornication. And he didn't want to do that because he loved her. He was minded to put her away privately, privately. That was in his mind. So he was very troubled. He wanted to do what was legal. But what he wanted to do was legal would damage the honor of Mary, whom he did not want to do, because he was a just man. And so the Lord had to intervene. He did not know that she was with child of the Holy Spirit because it had never happened before. Never. This was the first and only time when a virgin lady is with child. It's never happened before in the history of mankind as far as the Bible is concerned. Never. First time. And so God had to intervene to make sure that this marriage remains, because Joseph was required by God to be the adopted father of Christ, to help the Lord Jesus Christ in his growing up years until such time when the Lord was old enough for him to begin his ministry at the age of 30. The Lord has a purpose and has a plan. And both of them, Joseph and Mary, must come from the line of David. And so the earlier few verses from verse 1 to verse 17 of Matthew 1, basically this genealogy describes the lineage of Joseph. The one in Luke 3 described the lineage, or the genealogy in Luke 3 described the lineage of Mary. Because you see, both of them in that list came from David. But the list in Matthew 1 continues from Solomon. Whereas the list from Luke 3 continues from another son of David, Nathan. And that's how we know that there are two different lists. So one describes Joseph's link with David, because God has promised David that the throne of David will be forever. And it will continue through the greater son of David, that is the Lord Jesus himself. And so what you see here is basically a fulfillment of God's promise to King David, prophecy. And that's why Joseph cannot break off this espousal or relationship with Mary. And so the Lord must intervene. And so while he was pondering all these on what to do, because he was a just man, he wanted to do what is right. You cannot just simply keep this quiet. You cannot just simply sweep this under the table, because how could my wife, who is supposed to be a virgin, be with child? I cannot marry a woman who has committed fornication. But I don't want to make this a public spectacle and humiliate her. So he did not know what to do, and so the Lord had to appear to him, as you can see in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, while he was pondering all these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Don't be afraid. Eh? Don't be afraid. That means, you mean it is okay for me to marry, go through my espousal, my marriage, even though she is with child? Well, thank God the angel explained. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. So verse 18 to verse 20 tells us how Jesus Christ came. Through the Virgin Mary, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ appears inside Mary's womb, who was still a virgin. By the power of the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ became the Son of Man. That's how he came to be with us. So that when he was born later on, he will look exactly like you and me, but without sin. Because no man was involved. It was the womb of Mary and the Spirit of God. So that the Lord Jesus Christ became fully man, but without sin. You and me, to the seed of man and the woman, all humanity, born of the seed of man and woman, will be born with sin. Total depravity. The sinful nature is already in us, even as we begin to exist inside our mother's womb. That's why babies die. Because the Bible says the evidence of sin in anyone is death. Except Christ. That's why babies die, even inside the mother's womb. Because baby already have sinful nature inside the mother's womb. Otherwise, they should not die. Because the Bible says the evidence of sinful nature is sin, is death. That's why you and I die. That's why there is death in this world, because of sin. Get rid of sin, get rid of death. That's how death will disappear. One day God will get rid of sin from this earth. But before that happens, according to God's timing, God says, right now, today, you can get rid of sin in your life. But you can get rid of sin in you. You alone. You, the person. You can get rid of death. That's why Jesus Christ is with us. That's why God is with us. That's why there is Emmanuel. That's why Jesus has to come. He came through the Virgin Mary by the power of the Spirit of God so that he will be born exactly like us in fullness of humanity, but without sin. Because if he was born like us, human, man, seed and woman, he will be born just like us, filled with sin. But thank God, he was born of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Spirit of God to become one of us, fully God and fully man. Why must he be fully man? Why can't he just simply be fully God alone? Because he has to be a man to die for man. And you find that from verse 21 to 23. The reason why he came. He has to make this very plain and clear. That Jesus Christ came to be exactly like us in fullness of humanity, but at the same time always fully God. But he has to come without sin. Otherwise he cannot take our place. Because he cannot come as Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Because he has to save himself from his own sin. If he was also born a sinner like us. So the Bible says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus means Joshua. Joshua means Savior. For he shall save, same word, Jesus is the word save, his people from their sins. That's why he came. That's the reason. You and I are born sinners. All of us, no exception. And this is evidenced by the lust that is in us. The lust of the flesh. You look at the many lusts of the flesh, especially during this Christmas season. Every company wants your dollar. Now not only do you have to go to these shops, the shops come to you through the internet. That's called what? Internet shopping. Right? So if you sign up for all these internet shop sites, they will tell you, come, visit my shop, buy from me. This is the Christmas season and this is the discount you're going to get. You buy one, you get so many dollars off. You buy one, you get so many percentage off in your second purchase. Promotion. Everybody wants a dollar. They are trying to appeal to our lust. Lust of what? Lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes. The desires. The lust. Lust for new things. Who doesn't like new things, right? We all love new things. Anyone who says, I don't love new things, you are lying to yourself. Everybody loves new things. True? You don't like new things? Parents, you bought gifts for your children. The child says, oh, he doesn't like new things, so give to me. Don't give to your child. You like new things, right, children? Who doesn't like new things? Raise your hand.
Christmas gift there, you know, you don't want them, and mommy will give to me, huh? You want?
I'm sure all of us want. Grown-ups also want new things. True? Everybody wants new things. The husband doesn't want new things, the wife bought for you, you don't want, also give to me. I get a lot. I love new things. Be honest. You all love new things. I like my new phone. New phone, nice, huh? Right, Renko, huh? Ah, you like your new car? Ah, he likes his new car. See? Anybody got a new house? You all love a new renovation. You like the new church renovation, the new grass? Our young people came back from Mersing on Friday, where they removed all the hoarding and everything. So they saw this for the first time with all the hoarding gone, all tidy up, all clean up. You know what they did? Some of the young people, they went to the green grass and they lie down there. Before it gets dirty. They lie down there. It's very nice to walk, right? Got lush and now you can feel the grass, right? It's all fake, like you know, huh? It's plastic. It's not real. New things. New toy, new towels. I mean, the fellowship hall, all new towels. A lot of new things. There's a new ramp also for those who need help. So you don't have to walk one big round to use the handicapped toilet on the other side. So now we built a new ramp so that you can just come in. You can just simply go there, make it more convenient. Otherwise, you've got to go all the other way around, walk one big long round. So make it easier, more convenient. All of new things. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. Envy people. Wow, how come he's got so much hair? How come his hair never gets white and never diminishes? Look at me. He's getting older, right? But look at his head. Look at Franco's hair, still thick and nice, you know. I envy him. See, envy, you see, lust of the eyes. You know, sometimes I dream now, I go to sleep. I dream that my whole head are full of hair, you know. Dream now, dream on now. As I wake up, look at the mirror. Ay, yeah, it was only a dream. Only a dream. Maybe he also has a nightmare, he dreamed no hair. Lust of the eyes, envy, right? How come the wife is more beautiful than my wife? How come the husband is smarter than my husband? Envy. How come you can do your maths better than me? How come you this subject, I study so hard, I get B. You hardly study, you get A. Envy, lust of the eyes. And then the worst part, the pride of life. Pride of life. Only like people to praise you. Don't like people to tell the truth who you are. Don't like people to tell us our weaknesses. Only like praises. Only tell me my good things, or don't tell me my bad things. As if you don't have any weaknesses and any bad things. We all have. So we are full of sin. And so if we die in our sin, the Bible says we all will end up in hell. And the only way to save you, God says, I'm holy. I'm just. I cannot just simply pretend that you are not a sinner. And if you die in your sin, you're going to pay the penalty, and the penalty is spend eternity in hell. Because that's what it means when you sin against God. We're not talking about sinning against men. Very often when we sin against men, we sin against God at the same time. Because God gave us the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So please think that when you commit adultery with another human being, you have also transgressed against God. Don't just simply think that, well, my wife says it's okay, my wife doesn't mind. God minds. God says when you commit adultery, you have also sinned against me. You can ask your wife for forgiveness and she can forgive you. But when you come to me and ask for forgiveness, you cannot simply say, I'm sorry, and that there must be a restitution. What can you give to God to appease the wrath of God against your transgression? And that is only one transgression. And God says, when you break one commandment, you break all 10. All 10 of them. And do you know what the 10 commandments are? You better know them. Because that is how God will measure your life and my life when you stand before Him one day upon the end of your life. And God says, if you die in sin, you will die and end up in hell. You have to get rid of sin in your life. But what can I do to get rid of sin? Can I just simply do good works? But what about Christian good works, God? Not good works of my own making, but Christian good works, such as coming to church. If I come to church, behave myself, sit there quietly, pay attention, or at least pretend to pay attention, God, is that good enough to take away my sin? What if I come for a prayer meeting? What do I give of my offering? Can I buy you? Can I give you lots of money and buy away your anger against me? God says, no. Why not, God? Because you are already a sinner to begin with. The hands that you take from your pocket and put into the offering bags are already stained by sin.
Therefore, you are already disqualified. If you are born without sin, you can give and do good works. But you are not born without sin. You are already born with sin. And therefore, whatever you do, as far as God says, it may appear as good works in the eyes of fellow men. But they are filthy rags in the sight of God. And that's why you cannot buy yourself out of sin and out of hell. You cannot even do Christian works and get yourself out of sin and out of hell. Which was what the Pharisees tried to do. And their version of Christian works would be based upon the Old Testament. And our version of the Christian works would be based upon the New Testament. But they are the same. That's why the Bible says, your righteousness has to be better than the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. Or else you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. Don't talk about entering. You can't enter. You can't see. And no one can do the righteousness that is better than the Pharisees and the scribes. They started when they were boys. And they follow very, very rigidly all the do's and don'ts of the Old Testament according to the law. And God says even that kind of righteousness disqualified. Not good enough. That's why Jesus Christ has to come and take our place, to take our punishment. That's why the Bible calls him Jesus, Savior. Save who? Save you. Save me from our own sin, from hell, from death. That's why he's called Jesus, to save us from our own sin, from death, and from hell. That's why he came. That's the reason. That's why he came the way he did. He has to be born like you and me, because an animal is not made in God's image, which you and I are. That's why he has to be another human being, and he has to be perfect without sin, otherwise he's to die for his own sin. And that's why Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, he was born without sin, fully God and fully man. And that's what the Bible says, his name is Jesus. He came for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to save you and me out of our own sin and our punishment. That is death and hell. Get rid of sin, get rid of death, and get rid of hell in your life. And that's why Jesus came. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. With us is God, walking in our midst, exactly like one of us, to be our Savior, to live a perfect life in accordance to God's requirement, and then quietly to take our punishment. That's why his death was so awful. He didn't just simply come and just die as a human being. He has to live and grow up just like you and me grow up from infancy to adulthood. And all this while, the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. In every way. Perfect in thought, perfect in motive, perfect in words, perfect in life. And he fulfilled everything. For your sake and for my sake, he came. And then, the persecution, the suffering he had to endure. You call yourself a king, let us give you a crown. And they wove a crown of thorns and they forced it down his head. His face was covered in blood. And fully God, he could have just simply delivered himself, but he did not. He just stood there and let them do it to him. Because that's the only way to take the punishment for your sins and for my sins. He took it upon his body. They spat on his body, spat in his face. If you ever been spat upon when you give a tract, and you feel very hurt, well, the Lord Jesus Christ was spat upon first. For your sake. They covered his head and then they punched him. Tell us who punched you. You're a prophet, right? You know everything, right? And they did it. And they stripped him. And they put on him a royal garment. Well, you call yourself a king? Let us give you a royal garment. They mocked him. Have you been mocked? Make fun of? They did it to the Lord. So do not be discouraged and disheartened because they did it to you. For Jesus' sake. And then they scourged his back. Exposed his ribcage at the back. Tore it to pieces. They whipped him. What did he do wrong? Nothing. And he allowed himself to endure so much pain and so much suffering and humiliation because of your sins and my sins. That's why he came. That's what Emmanuel means. With us is God. With us is our Savior. So that he could come and die for your sins and for my sins. And that's what verse 22 and 23 says. It is according to God's prophecy. This is basically from Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Emmanuel. With us.
with sinful men.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ, fully Son of God and the Son of Man. And because He was fully God and fully man when He died, His death is of infinite value. If He was just simply fully man and not fully God, He can only save one person, one life for another life. But thank God, He was fully God and fully man who died. And that's why His death was of infinite value. And so when He appeared at the beginning of His ministry, before John the Baptist to be baptized by Him, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." The value of the death of Christ is sufficient to wash away the sins of the whole world. And you and I know the horrendous nature of our sins and the innumerable number of sins we all have committed. And yet the value of it is able to wash away all the sins of the world, no matter how heinous, no matter how innumerable. Because it was the Son of God and the Son of Man who died. That's the only way to take the sin away from your life and my life, and the anger and the wrath of God and the judgment of God against us. But you have to believe. You have to confess with your mouth, with all your heart, and accept God's love and God's offer for you in Christ Jesus. You say, "I don't want." There is no automatic salvation. You know, when a man is dying of hunger, you can surround him with the best delicious food, with the most wonderful fragrance. He will still die of hunger if he doesn't reach forth and take the food and eat. We can only present to you the love of God in Christ, which we have done this afternoon. We can present to you based upon God's word and God's promises, that if you truly, with all your heart, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, that He died in your place, that He took the punishment for your sins. You cry this before God. Based upon God's promise, God says, "I will not turn anyone away." There is no sin on earth that the blood of Christ cannot wash away. There is no sinner who, in all sincerity and all humility, would come to me for forgiveness. I will not forgive. God says, "I will forgive." But you have to come. You have to receive and accept. Just like the man has to reach out, or else he will still die of starvation, surrounded by the best food in the world. You can still die in your sin, even though the Lord Jesus Christ is now presented before you, right in front of you. If you do not truly, with all your heart, unconditionally surrender your life and cry to God and say, "I accept Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sin, as my Lord, as my Savior, with all my heart." If you do not confess, that is like a hand that reaches out and accept God's offer to you. Like the man who will still die of starvation surrounded by food, you will still die in your sin and end up in hell if you do not accept. God loves us even though there is nothing lovely in us. That's why God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what Emmanuel means with us, is Christ, the Son of God, walking in the midst of man, live a perfect life according to God's requirement, and then according to God's requirement, He took on His body a punishment that we deserve. And how do I know that it is enough to wash away my sin? Because, preacher, you know how terrible my sins are. God says, "I show you that I have accepted what Jesus Christ has done is enough to wash away your sin. Because on the third day after Christ died, God raised Him from the dead." That means God defeated death for you and for me in Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and God gave Him a glorified body that is now fully God and fully man. And this same glorified body will be given to us as well. But you will also become a special person in the eyes of God, called sons and daughters of the Most High God. But the image of God in you will now be restored, that you will also experience glory. And you'll be given a body that will never, never die again. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has taken the punishment and the penalty for you. And you have by faith reached out and accepted God's love for you. That's Emmanuel. We thank God Joseph believed. Joseph understood, and he accepted. As you can see in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, Mary. And so they got married. It happened. With us is God. It's not a theory. It's not a figment of man's imagination. It happened. The Lord Jesus Christ came. He lived. And the land and the country that he came to and born of, the nationality, was Israel. A nation prepared by God from the very beginning of her inception, as far back as the time of Moses and Joshua and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, if you go any further. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That means when he married her, she was a virgin. There was no conjugal relationship between Mary and Joseph until after Jesus was born. Oh, Jesus had other siblings, half brothers, half sisters. But Mary remained a virgin until Jesus was born. And that's why we always talk about the virgin birth of Christ. Virgin birth of Christ would include virgin conception. But virgin conception alone, without emphasizing the virgin birth of Christ, would not be sufficient. Because the work of Christ in coming down from heaven to walk amongst us, Emmanuel, has always come under attack by the devil. So that people will not find salvation in Christ. You look at Christmas. Christmas is supposed to remind us of this incident, Emmanuel. Jesus born of the Virgin Mary as the Savior of the world. But look at how the world has portrayed Christ. You walk along Orchard Road, you go onto the internet, it is Santa Claus, it is reindeer, it's all the bright lights and all the pomp and carnality. And Christ is only mentioned in the name Christmas. That's it. Is there a true, honest portrayal of Jesus Christ coming down to earth to die for your sins and my sins? No. Because the God of this world has blinded the minds of men, women, and children, and it has been so grossly distorted. But we thank God that we still have the Word of God, the Bible. We thank God that we can still share with you the true meaning of Christmas. That is, with us is God, Emmanuel. How did he come? Through the Virgin Mary, by the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So that he was born of the Virgin Mary, born perfect without sin, in order to die for your sins and my sins. That's why he came. And he did come. And therefore salvation is real. The love of God is truly offered. And it continues to be offered till today. Is it going to be here forever? No. Because when the Lord Jesus returns, the day of salvation is over. The day of judgment will begin. Because in his first coming, this, he comes as Jesus, the Savior. But his second coming, he will come as the judge of all judges, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the crown he's going to wear on his head, because he will now come as the judge, and he will no longer come as the Savior. So if you see him come down from the clouds of glory and cry to Jesus, save me, he says, day of salvation is done, my friend. I come now to judge. So do not procrastinate. Do not think that you have tomorrow. Let today, right now, this afternoon, be Emmanuel for you. So that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, can take away sin from your life. Because Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for your sin. And God will forgive you and take away all the sins in your life. And you will truly experience in your heart the true meaning of Emmanuel. With us is God. Not just walking amongst men, but with us is God in us. But the Spirit of God will now dwell. But you will never be alone again. Because with us, in our heart, is truly our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Christmas, dear friend. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy great love for us. For in that great love, though we were full of sin and Your enemies, You send thy only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come down from heaven's glory, to walk amongst men, because that's the only way to save sinful men from his sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ did come. He came through the Virgin Mary by the power of the Spirit of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ was born fully God and fully man. And he came as our Savior, Jesus, to save us from sin, from death, and from hell. And we thank thee, O Lord, that he did come. And he walked amongst men. And he did die. And you accepted what he has done for us. For you raised him from the dead for our justification. And we thank thee, O Lord, for this great work of salvation that you have wrought in our hearts. Help us. Teach us, O Lord, as your blood-bought children, to live only for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we reflect upon the year 2018, there have been so many occasions that we have stumbled and fallen because of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Forgive us, for we have not been a holy and godly witness for the Lord. Renew our love and our zeal and our fervency for thee. For you have redeemed us not with gold nor with silver, but with the precious, priceless blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore teach us and help us to live only for him, so that by our good works they will see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven. We pray also, Father, for some in our midst, young and old, who have not accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. And we pray, O Lord, that truly Emmanuel will be the experience of such a one, not just Jesus Christ walking amongst men, but Jesus Christ dwelling within us after salvation through the power and indwelling of the Spirit of God. We pray, O Lord, for such a one, that thou will be gracious and merciful to bring salvation to such a soul, that this person may truly experience the true meaning of Christmas, Emmanuel. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.